It's me again, Hank the Cow Dog. Do you believe in bone monsters? Neither did I, until one struck our ranch and made off with my fortune in buried bones. And then I had no choice but to believe in them. Bone monsters, that is. I had always believed in bones. Who wouldn't believe in bones? They're one of the things that give meaning to a dog's life. I love bones. Always have. They're wonderful. Bone monsters, on the other hand, aren't wonderful, and I don't love them. They're very scary, as you will see if you should happen to work up the courage to listen to this story. And let me warn you right here. Don't tackle this story unless you've completed a course in monster safety, because, well, I don't know what might happen. Something bad. Bedwetting. A runny nose. Heat rash. Pulmonary brouhaha. You've been warned. Proceed with caution. It all began, as I recall, around the middle of March. No, the middle of April. And I can pin it down to the very exact day. It was the 14th of April. I happened to be sitting near the front gate, facing east. I barked up the sun at precisely 7 o'clock. After performing that very important duty, I lingered near the front gate to do a turkey patrol. Whilst I was barking up the sun, don't you see, my ears began picking up unusual signals from a chinaberry grove near the creek. I stopped. Froze, actually. I stopped and froze, twisted my head from side to side, and initiated the sound detection procedure. I went to full lift up on both auditory scanners and began monitoring the entire electromagical spectrum. I was listening for turkey sounds, see? At that hour of the morning, they often make sounds. They gobble. And they make another sound, too, which I can't reproduce because I'm not a turkey. It's kind of a squawk or a cluck. I picked up the sounds just as clear as a bell. Those turkeys were down there in the chinaberry grove, squawking and gobbling, and little did they know that I was spying on them and picking up every word of their conversation. Would you like to listen to a transcript of this monitoring session? Ordinarily, we don't release this information to the general public because we don't. It's classified information, see, and we usually withhold these transcripts for 25 years because we do. And that's reason enough. We do it because we do it. If we didn't, we wouldn't. But if you want to take a listen to one of the turkey transcripts, I can't see that it would hurt anything. Ready? Here we go.
Official secret transcript. Turkey monitoring operations. Code name Starfish Sandwich. East Yard Gate Station. April 14th.
Turkey 1. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Turkey 2. Cluck, cluck. Turkey 3. Squawk, screech. Turkey 1. Gobble. Turkey 3. Cluck, squawk. Turkey 2. Cluck, cluck, screech. Turkey 1. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Turkey 2. Cluck.
End of secret transcript.
So there you are. Pretty impressive, huh? Those birds might as well have been in the movies the way we had them covered. We knew all their secrets, their plans, everything. We knew what they were thinking before they even thought it. Of course, the problem with turkeys is that they don't do much thinking about anything, which makes their conversations a little on the dull side. Pretty boring, actually. I wouldn't want to spend too much of my time monitoring turkeys. Anyways, I was at the turkey wire doing my job when all at once I heard a vehicle approaching from the north. Unidentified vehicles get an automatic override in our defense system, which means that at the first sound of a UV, all turkey traffic is blacked out so that we can sound the alarm. I left my post at the gate. Not the gatepost, but my position near the gatepost. I left my post at the gatepost. Fooey. I left the gate, never mind the post, and went ripping out to intercept the... Okay, relax. It was Slim's pickup, which no doubt contained Slim. Slim was the driver, see, and once I had established this fact, I switched all circuits from emergency red to routine blue and provided Slim with an escort all the way to... That was odd. Instead of driving down to the corrals, where he usually went at this hour of the morning, he stopped in front of the house. The moment he stepped out of the pickup, I was there to greet him. I gave him broad wags and joyful leaps, just to let him know that, by George, it sure was good to see him again. That should have been enough to start his day off right, but yikes! He looked at me with a pair of stony eyes and said,
"What are you so happy about, Pooch? Don't you know what day this is?"
Well, No, I didn't. Up until that very moment, I had thought it was a fairly normal day. Obviously, I had missed something. He shoved his hands into his jeans pockets and trudged up to the front door. He carried a bundle of something under his arm. A mess of papers, it appeared. His back was bent, and his head was low, as though he were packing several sacks of feed. Only he wasn't. He tapped on the door. Loper appeared. He was not smiling, too. "Come in," was all he said. The door closed behind them. My goodness, this was a dark day. Something bad was happening on my ranch, and I didn't even know what it was. You probably think it had something to do with the night stalking bone monster, but I'll give you a hint. It didn't. Not yet. That came later. I had planned to move along and do a routine sweep of the entire headquarters area, but it was clear by then that we had a serious problem on the ranch, and I needed to remain on call until we cleared it up. After marking two of Slim's tires, I saw no real need to mark all four of them. I mean, we knew the vehicle, and a short mark was good enough. After the so forth, I curled up beside the front gate and... Mark, mark. Perhaps I dozed off for a moment or two. Next thing I knew, they were coming down the sidewalk. Slim and Loper, that is.
"Get out of the gate, Hank."
I leaped to my feet, staggered three steps to the north, and did a quick scan of their faces. They were still dark, depressed, angry. The sun had climbed fairly high above the horizon. Perhaps I had dozed for an hour or two instead of a moment or two. They came through the gate. Instead of doing joyous leaps and broad wags, I switched all circuits over to graveyard mode. If they were depressed, I was depressed. If they were sad, so was I. That's just part of being a loyal dog. Fellers, we were sad and depressed. Perhaps we were going to climb into Slim's pickup and drive to a funeral. Yes, it was very sad, only they didn't climb into the pickup. They started walking north, towards the county road. Now that was strange. These two cowboys weren't fond of walking, yet here they were, walking. It was hard to believe, but I fell in step beside them. We walked in silence. Oh, and did I mention that each of them carried a white envelope? Yes, they did. At last, Slim spoke.
"Well, here goes another year down the drain. You reckon we'll ever find happiness again?"
"Oh, sure. Fools always forget. Give us 6 months and we'll be able to smile again. By Christmas, we'll be laughing.
I ain't so sure. I think my giggle box is permanently broke. And so am I.
Well, look at it this way, Slim. If you had all that money, you'd spend it on something foolish.
I'd sure try.
Yeah, me too. But I guess Sally Mae didn't really need that new dress.
No. And I didn't need to get these boots half soled.
Heck no. Wear a thicker sock.
I sure hope this check don't bounce.
They'll be in touch. Don't worry.
I'll bet. None of this made sense to me.
As near as I could figure it, Slim had worn out all his socks and was sending off an order for more. He hoped they would arrive by Christmas, and if they did, he would laugh, I guess. Sounded crazy to me. By that time, we had reached the mailbox, which appeared to be our destination. Aha, yes! The pieces of the puzzle were falling into place. Loper opened the little door and pitched his letter inside.
Well, back to work.
Slim held his letter up and gave it a pat. Here we are, little feller. Go find the IRS and tell them they've ruined my life again. He pitched his letter inside and slammed the door. We trudged back down to the house. There we split up and went our separate ways. Loper into the house, Slim to the corrals, and me to the gas tanks. And you know what? I never did figure out what we were all being so sad about. What the heck was an IRS? International Reserve of Socks? Interplanetary Rhubarb Society? Incredible Reindeer Snouts? I decided to stop worrying about it. If you can't figure out why you're miserable, maybe you're not. I had more important things to worry about, such as, well, you'll soon find out. I couldn't help feeling just a little angry that I had wasted the best part of the morning trying to be a good dog and showing sympathy for my cowboy pals. I mean, we try to help them out and share their little sorrows, but there's a limit to how sad a dog can feel about holy socks and reindeer snouts. Down deep, where it really counts, I just don't care about either subject. I'm sorry. And I was way behind in my work and beginning to feel the awesome weight of responsibility that came with my job. Running a ranch is no cup of worms, let me tell you. And I still had 18 hours of work to do before I slept. I hurried past the front gates, headed down the Caliche Hill past that cottonwood tree that was just beginning to put out a few spring leaves, and past the... Suddenly, I heard a sound. A voice. A child's voice. Little Alfred's voice, to be exact. And here's what he said.
Here, kitty, kitty. You, Petey, come for squat.
I went to full air brakes and skidded to a stop. Squap. My ears shot up to full and undivided attention, for you see, I had just broken the code of a very important transmission. You probably weren't aware of this, but squaps, in kid language, means scraps to the rest of us. My goodness! I had just stumbled into a conspiracy of major portions. It appeared that little Alfred, who or whom I had always considered my special pal, was about to offer delicious scraps to my least favorite character on the ranch. Pete, the cheat. Pete, the sneaking little barn cat. I was stunned. Shocked beyond recognition. Wounded. Devastated. Deeply hurt, shall we say. Gee whiz, Alfred and I had been through so much together, yet now he had turned against his very best friend in the whole world and was about to offer my scraps to the cat. Oh, pain!
Oh, treachery! Oh, broken heart! A lot of your ordinary dogs would have quit right there, admitted defeat, and gone into mourning for several days. Not me. Ordinary has never been a word that applied to me. Hey, my special friendship with Alfred was worth fighting for, and okay, maybe the scraps were too, especially since the villain in this case was Kitty Kitty. Would I lie down and roll over and let the cat corrupt my long and meaningful friendship with little Alfred? No, sir. I would fight for my rights. I would fight for truth and justice and friendship and scrap rights. Kitty was in big trouble. I squared my enormous shoulders and rumbled off towards the yard gate. I could see him standing there, the boy, not the cat. I could see him standing there. He held a plate in his left hand. He was grinning. He would be shocked, of course, that I had intercepted his secret call to Mr. Kitty Moocher. No doubt he had called the cat in a soft voice, hoping that we dogs would miss it. Ha! Little did he know the range and scope of our listening devices. The same instruments that spy on turkeys can pick up the tiniest of whispers about scraps. And so it was that I stormed over to the yard gate and broke up his shabby little conspiracy before it ever got started. Our eyes met. Through tail wags and other modes of expression, I said to him, "Alfred, I'm shocked that you would try to hold a secret scrap time without consulting me. And furthermore..." He cut off my furthermore with a laugh.
"Hi, Hanky. I knew that if I called for the kitty, you'd come. I fooled you, didn't I, Hanky?"
"Huh?" I hardly knew how to respond. My mind was racing. My databanks whirred as I tried to make sense of his... I mean, who'd ever think that an innocent child might put out false information and phony calls? If you can't trust the kids, who or whom can you trust? And what's the world coming to? I went to Slow Wags and squeezed up a grin which said, "Hey, pal, we were on to your tricks from the very beginning. We suspected that you were operating in backwards code, and we just played along with it to what's on the plate?" I lifted my nose and gave the air a sniffing. My goodness. When the readout came in from data control, we found ourselves, well, shaking with excitement, you might say, because our sensory devices had picked up fragrant waves. Holy smokes, the kid was holding a plate of steak bones. He widened his eyes and dropped his voice to a whisper. "Hanky, guess what I got on the plate? Steak bones. Juicy, yummy steak bones." "Yes, our intelligence sources had already... Could we hurry this up a bit?"
"You want a bone?"
"Well, I... Yes, a bone would be nice. Or two or three, or... To make things simple, maybe all of them." He lifted a bone off the plate and waved it in front of my nose. "Holy tamales! That was a fresh T-bone, saved from supper the night before. And have we discussed T-bones? I love them, absolutely love them. And oftentimes I dream about them at night, is how much I love them." He continued to wave the bone around in front of my nose. Fragrant waves of steakness filled my nostrils. My mouth began to water. I licked my chops and hopped up on my back legs. But the little scamp pulled the bone out of my reach and laughed. Why was he doing this? I mean, he had a bone and I wanted a bone, so why couldn't we cut a deal and be done with it? Before I could answer that question, I suddenly realized that we had been joined by a third party. Pete. Pete had raised his worthless carcass out of his bed in Sally Mae's iris patch and had come slinking into our midst, grinning, purring, and holding his tail straight up in the air. The mere sight of him caused my lips to rise into a snarl. For you see,
I don't like cats. Pete, for your own safety, I must advise you not to come any closer.
Well, hello, Hanky.
Hello yourself, Kitty, and also goodbye. You're walking into a potentially deadly situation here, and you'd best leave.
Oh, really?
He slithered through the yard gate, rubbed on the gatepost, and then began rubbing on my front leg.
I could have sworn that little Alfred was calling me to scrap, Hanky.
Wrong, Kitty. He was using backwards code, which means that he used your name as a code word to call me.
How interesting. I've never heard of backwards code before.
Of course not. You're only a cat, and cats know nothing about security work and the many codes we use.
It sounds very complicated, Hanky.
It's complicated beyond your wildest imagination, Kitty. But the bottom line is pretty simple.
Oh, really?
He grinned up at me and continued rubbing on my legs, which drives me nuts.
What is the bottom line, Hanky? I can't wait to hear.
The bottom line is that these are my scraps. You got that? My scraps! Goodbye!
But, Hanky, if Alfred was using backwards code, then surely that means that the scraps are mine.
He fluttered his eyelids.
Backwards code makes everything backwards, right?
I cut my eyes from side to side. This was a new sneaky trick, and just for a moment it caught me unprepared. At last, data control provided me with an answer. Pete, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And stop rubbing on my legs.
No, it's not stupid, Hanky. Backwards code makes everything backwards. So, if Alfred said, Pete, come for scraps, what he really meant was, Hanky, come for no scraps.
Obviously, this was no ordinary dumb cat. He was a clever ordinary dumb cat, and I had to be careful. He was trying to lure me into a trap. Of course, there was no chance that he would succeed. I had vast experience in beating cats at their shabby little games. It was just a matter of framing up a tightly reasoned, highly logical answer to his ridiculous argument. But before I could get that done, little Alfred pushed the bone, my fresh, juicy T-bone, in front of a cat's nose. Pete's eyes widened, and the rest was just what you would expect from a greedy cat. He dug his claws and sank his teeth into my bone, cut loose with a warning yowl, pinned back his ears, and began glaring ice picks at me. Well, you know me. Do unto others, but don't take trash off the cats. My patients were wearing thin. My patients were wearing thin clothes. My patients were growing thin. Whatever! I was getting angry. Excuse me, Kitty, but you seem to have lost your mind, and you're fixing to lose parts of your body if you don't unhand my bone. Drop it, Pete. Reach for the sky. His yowling increased in volume, and then he hissed at me. He shouldn't have done that. Nothing inflames a dog quite as much as hissing. It's like throwing gasoline on a fire ant. My ears shot up. My lips rose in a deadly snarl. A growl began to rumble in my throat. And then... out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of little Alfred. He was wearing a huge grin, and his eyes were sparkling like... I don't know what. Diamonds, I suppose. But the point is that he looked very happy about something. And all at once, the pieces of the puzzle began falling into place. The little snipe was bored and had drawn me and Kitty down into a show.
into a showdown, I should say. In other words, he wanted us to fight over the bone. In other words, Pete and I were being used. This threw an entirely different light on the whole situation. I turned back to the captain. Pete, I've just figured this deal out. Alfred is trying to promote a fight between us. That was his purpose in using backwards code, to foment jealousy and envy and greed between us. Just look at yourself, Pete. He succeeded. He stopped yelling and listened. I continued. He's appealing to our lowest instincts, Pete, and has brought us to the brink of open warfare. I don't know about you, but I kind of resent being used by a bratty little kid. I mean, we're adult dogs and cats, yet we're being tooled around by this ornery little stinkpot. I've got no grudge against you, Pete, and I think it would be a crying shame for us to go into combat over something as silly as a bone. What's a bone, Pete? The world is full of bones. This is just one of thousands, millions. And I ask you, Pete, sincerely and from my deepest heart, is one measly bone worth all this? Just look at what it's done to you. You've turned into a greedy, selfish, miserly little brute. He still had his teeth sunk into the bone. I continued. I don't know about you, Pete, but I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm ashamed of yourself, too. I mean, we have every reason to be friends. We share the same ranch, the same world, the same stars at night. Yet here we are, at each other's throats over a paltry, insignificant little bone. Talk to me, Pete. Tell me what you think. Am I right or wrong about this? I sincerely and honestly want to know your thoughts on this. He dropped the bone.
Well, Hanky, since you put it that way...
In one rapid motion, I snatched up my bone and buried Kitty beneath an avalanche of paws and claws. He never saw it coming and never had a chance. Okay, maybe he didn't stay buried under the avalanche for very long, and maybe he cut loose with a burst of fully automatic cat claw fire that almost ruined my face. But I hasten to point out that he took cheap and unfair advantage of the situation. See, my mouth was full of T-bone, the very same bone he had just tried to steal only moments before. And with my mouth full of T-bone, I wasn't able to defend my honor in the manner... Man alive, I had almost forgotten how much damage a sniveling little cat could do in a very short period of time. He buzzsawed my whole face, fellas. And we're talking about lips, eyebrows, cheeks, gums, nose, the whole shebang. At that point, I abandoned the path of reason, dropped the bone, and went to total warfare. If Kitty Kitty had been just half a step slower, he would have paid dearly for his crime. Instead, I had to settle for a moral victory. I ran him all the way to the water well and chased him up a tree. There! I yelled at him with a voice filled with righteous anger. And let that be a lesson to you. He grinned down at me from the tree.
Yes, I've learned a valuable lesson, Hanky. Chewing on a dog's face is a lot more fun than chewing on a bone. Let's try it again sometime.
I tried to think of a stinging reply, but my face and nose were stinging so badly by then. I mean, he had really trashed my face, the sneaking little weasel. I failed to come up with a stinging reply, so I whirled around and marched away, confident that I had won another huge moral victory over the cat. At least I had a bone to show for my efforts. Pete had nothing but a tree. Holding my trashed face at a proud angle, I marched proudly down to the... My goodness, there was Sally Mae at the yard gate. Acting on instinct, I altered my flight plan and pointed myself towards the gas tanks. I mean, there's something about Sally Mae that arouses certain feelings of, guilt in a dog. even when we haven't done anything naughty. Her very presence makes us think we have. And in this case, I had more or less been involved in chasing her precious kitty.
Hank, come here.
Uh-oh, there it was. She'd seen everything. She knew everything. She always saw and knew everything. Didn't she ever sleep? I altered course again and headed for the yard gate. But this time, I switched everything over to looks of remorse and mournful wags. I began rehearsing my story. Sally Mae, I know what you're thinking. You probably think that I was beating up on your stupid... That is, you probably think I was fighting with your cat, and I realize that the evidence looks pretty damaging, but I think I can explain everything. Honest. No kidding. That's as far as I got with my story. I couldn't seem to get past the I can explain everything part. I would just have to wing it and hope for the best. I approached her with a big cowdog smile. She did not return the smile. Instead, her eyes were filled with ice and snow and cold north winds. Yikes! It appeared that I was in deep trouble. But you'll never guess what she said. I was shocked. Here's what she said, word for word.
Now you look at his face, Alfred Leroy. You see what you caused? Poor old Hank was just minding his own business until you drew him into a fight.
The boy stuck out his lips.
I was only playing, Mom.
I know you were playing, Alfred, but the point is that someone else paid the price for your fun.
Nuh-uh. Hank and Pete had fun, too.
Maybe they did, but they paid for it. Hank got scratched, and Pete got chased up a tree. And what about you? You, who started the whole thing.
Well, I got scratched. See?
He pointed to a tiny scratch on his arm.
And it hurts real bad.
Well,
no fooling.
She shook her head.
I think you need to come inside and stand in the corner for 30 minutes.
Oh, Mom.
And think about being kinder to animals. God didn't put them here for you to torment.
Oh, Mom.
In the house. March.
The boy twisted his face into an angry pout and beamed a hot glare at me, of all things.
Hey, you got me in trouble and you're a dummy.
Me? What? I stared at him in disbelief as Sally Mae escorted him into the house. He was calling me a dummy and accusing me of getting him into trouble? What a wild imagination he had. But that didn't matter now because Sally Mae had sniffed out the real culprit in the case and was hauling him off to jail. It served him right, the little snipe. Justice had been... Although I had to admit in the deep, dark wickedness of my heart that giving the cat his daily thrashing had been worth all the scratches. If given the opportunity to do it all over again, I would have done it all over again. Especially if little Albert got blamed for it. Not a bad deal, in other words. Especially when you consider that I had also won the grand prize of 3 juicy, delicious T-bone steak bones. Speaking of which, where were my bones? I sniffed the ground and located the spots where they had been. 3 distinct locations that still held the warm and wonderful fragrance of steak juice. The smell was there. The bones were not. They were gone. Someone had stolen my steak bones! I went streaking down to the gas tank. I had supposed that I would find Grover asleep on his gunny sack bed, but I was shocked to find him awake. But that was only the first of several shocks that awaited me, as you will see. I came roaring up to the gas tanks, throttled down, hit full air brakes, and came to a sliding stop. Grover, I'm glad you're awake. He gave me his usual silly grin.
Thanks, Hank. I'm glad, too, because the waker you are, the dayer it seems.
What?
I said... Well, let me think here. I said, the waker... I said, The awaker the day, the shorter the night. I think that's what I said.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it, but what was your point?
The point? Well, let's see here.
He rolled his eyes around. I tried to remain patient. Are you getting impatient? Let's change chapters. Maybe that'll help. There, we've changed chapters. Grover was pondering my question, if you recall. At last, he gave his answer.
The point is that if you sleep all the time, there's not much difference between day and night, I guess.
I see. There's a certain amount of truth in what you say, Grover, but allow me to point out one small flaw in your ointment.
Pig's sick oint.
I stared at the runt. No, as a matter of fact, they don't say oint. They say oink. Oink with a K. It's a well-known fact that pigs and hogs are unable to pronounce T's.
Oh, you're just teasing.
Not at all, Grover. It's a scientific truth that pigs and hogs...
What's the difference between a pig and a hog? I've always wondered.
Then it's good that you asked, Grover. That's how we learn and expand our minds, by inquiring about things we don't understand.
Yeah, and I don't understand why water's always so wet. And how come chickens move their heads when they walk? We dogs don't walk that way.
That's correct, Grover. And you've made an interesting observation there.
Yeah, but what's the answer?
The answer is very simple, as most answers tend to be. Your ordinary chicken moves his head when he walks because his head is connected to his legs. Do you know about clocks and pendulums?
No, I've never had a clock.
Grover, I'm aware that you've never had a clock. Even if you had a clock, you couldn't tell time.
Yeah, if I could tell time, I'd tell it to speed up, because I sure get bored sometimes.
Yes, well, the source of your boredom is yourself, Grover. It's a well-known fact that boring personalities suffer from boredom.
I'll be darned. I knew it was something.
I began pacing back and forth in front of him, as I often do when I am plunged into deep thoughts. Yes, if you would concentrate on being less boring, you would be less bored. It all fits together.
Yeah, and you know what? I chewed on a board one time and got splinters in my mouth.
There, you see? That's exactly my point. Chewing on boards is a way of relieving boredom, but it provides only temporary relief because it doesn't go to the root of the heart.
I'll be darned. You mean hearts have roots?
I couldn't help chuckling at his nativity. Grover, of course they do. Trees have roots. Teeth have roots. All things that are rooted in reality have roots.
What about root beer?
Inside every glass of root beer, Grover, there lurks a root.
How come it lurks?
It lurks because you ask so many stupid questions, and I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, darn. I wanted to ask about the chicken who swallowed the clock.
All at once, my lips rose into a snarl, and I found myself glaring at him. The chicken didn't swallow a clock, you meathead, and stop talking. I came down here on a very important mission, and you've got me so scrambled I can't remember what it was.
I love scrambled eggs.
Hush! Not one more word.
Okay.
My snarl turned into a growl. You just said one more word.
I did?
Yes, you did. I told you not to say one more word, and you said okay. For your information, okay is a word.
I thought it was two letters.
No, it's one word. And I forbid you to say one more word.
Okay.
That's better. I began pacing again. My brain had turned into a junkyard. Now, where was I? And don't answer, Grover. I'm asking myself, not you.
Okay.
It was something very important. A problem that absolutely couldn't wait and had to be addressed immediately.
Well, if okay is two letters instead of one word, maybe the two letters have to be addressed.
I stared into the vacuum of his eyes for a long moment. I remembered the two letters that Slim and Loper had addressed and put into the mailbox. Did Grover know something about that puzzling event? Something that he wasn't telling? Was this a clue that promised to lead my investigation off into an entirely different direction? Grover, let me ask you one question.
Do the letters IRS mean anything to you? Well, let's see here. IRS. IR confused. Confused starts with an S, so maybe that's what it means.
Confused starts with a C, Drover.
Gosh, I guess I'm confuseder than I thought.
The breath hissed out of my chest. Suddenly, I felt that I was being crushed by the weight of my job, the weight of the investigation, and above all, the weight of Drover's dingbat questions. And his answers, too. His dingbat answers were just as weird as his dingbat questions. I marched several steps away, blinked my eyes, took several deep breaths, and tried to clear the sawdust out of my head. Then, in a flash, it hit me. I whirled around. I've got it, Drover. I just remembered why I came streaking down here.
Oh, good, because I'd almost forgotten.
Yes, I had come pretty close to forgetting myself.
Yeah, and if you forgot yourself, you'd really be lost.
I forked him with a gaze of purest steel.
What? I said. Well, let's see here.
He scratched his right ear.
If you went someplace and forgot to take yourself, you'd be out there all alone, I guess.
Yes, that's true, I suppose, but that's a horse of a different color.
I got a horse once. Barked all night. Made my throat raw.
Drover, hush. I was leading up to a very important point, which is that only moments ago, someone stole... My gaze fell upon a small pile of something between Drover's paws. I hadn't noticed it until now. What is that between your paws, Drover?
My paws?
His eyes drifted down and settled on the objects.
Well, let's see here.
They look like bones to me. Three bones.
Yes, they do. Look like bones. Sure do.
I sniffed the air. Furthermore, they smell like bones.
I'll be darned, they do. Smell like bones.
If they look like bones and smell like bones, then by simple logic, we arrive at the conclusion that they are what?
Bones?
Very good. I lumbered over to him and stuck my nose in his face. Three bones, Drover. The exact number of bones that were stolen from me at the yard gate. Is it possible? Could it be that you stole three bones from the head of ranch security? From your superior? From one of the few friends you have left in this world?
Well, I...
Because if you did, Drover, then you are a thieving, scheming, traitorous, treacherous little pickpocket.
Oh, my gosh, don't say those things, Hank.
It's true, isn't it? Out with it. I want the truth, the holy truth, the awful, dreadful truth. Go ahead and confess, Drover, before it's too late.
Well...
He was so shook up, I thought he might start crying.
All right. I confess.
I knew it. I knew it.
I confess that I saw a bone monster.
An eerie silence moved around us. I stared at the runt. I could hardly believe my ears. The words had gone through me like a bolt. What did you just say?
I said, when?
Just now. Repeat what you just said.
Oh, okay.
He rolled his eyes and wadded up his face in an expression of something. Great concentration, I suppose, or total confusion. I couldn't tell. At last he spoke.
Was it something about clocks and chickens?
No.
Hogs and pigs?
No. You were confessing, Drover, and you said something about a bone monster.
Oh, yeah. What a scary guy.
I marched a few steps away. Drover, I have been on this ranch for many years, and I've never seen or heard of a bone monster. I don't mean to doubt your word, but tell me more. Did you actually see this thing steal my bones?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Saw it with my own eyes.
I sensed that this interrogation was entering a critical phase.
So I told him to sit down and relax while I stalked back and forth in front of him. I mean, this was pretty serious stuff. A bone monster right here on my ranch? I had to get to the bottom of this.